We've heard a remarkable story, said Hugh. It really is astonishing. I know about it, but every time I see it, I still can't quite believe it, to see where Peru has come from and to where it's reached and in many ways to where it's going to go to. You said that you expect soon that Camposol will be the biggest single supplier of blueberries from Peru. And I remember just a few years ago that I read a story on our website, FruitNet, Peru and blueberries in the same sentence, and I thought they must have made a mistake. That doesn't happen that way. There's been an editorial error made, but it's true and it's happening. And as I said, we're going to be in Peru in November with a conference like this to discuss some of these issues and to talk about them. But the relevance here today, it seems to me, when we were first thinking about this, was about what Peru has to offer in all this basket of products that you have and what might be suitable for the Indian market. But I'd like to kind of switch it another way, because sitting there thinking about it, it occurred to me actually what Peru has to offer in many ways is a model in what India could do. And I've been busy tweeting, as we do today, us journalists and many other people, and that's what I wrote. What does Peru have as a model for India? And Sumit, I'd like to come to you. In your long experience of following the international business, as a consultant, and now as a retailer, what do you think about that? When you sit there and listen to the evidence that you hear from Sergio, you must feel, as an Indian, a great deal of, I guess, envy, a great deal of optimism as well, because it's clear that this can work and it can happen. Do you think what we've heard from Sergio, as far as Peru is concerned, can part of it can be emulated here in India?
Well, first,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, first of all, coming here wearing a different hat is a very different feeling. But coming to Fresh Produce India is always like coming home. So
that's nice.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you.
And not from what I heard in this presentation, but from the 8-10 years that we've all been going to Berlin, the Peruvian pavilion there is a living example of how a country can position itself and grow to the extent that they have grown.
And it's interesting that it's not just in Berlin anymore, it's also in Hong Kong. They've got a growing stand there. Peru was there in fact before Chile, which was interesting in Hong Kong.
It's a fascinating story in that sense. And while I was doing a little bit of research for this session, I also realized that India and Peru are far closer than what we think. India and Peru just celebrated 50 years of their democratic relationships. An Indian vice president was there in Peru 3 months ago. And that's where the Ministry of Agriculture and Ministry of External Affairs in India do not necessarily are very vocal on free trade agreements. And typically, food is always kept out of the free trade agreement. For the first time, I have seen reading it on the Ministry of External Affairs website, where Government of India is talking about a possible free trade agreement, which is extremely welcome. I must congratulate you that you picked the right time to come. This is right at the start of the curve, and I think it will be a very, very good future here. As far as from not wearing my retailer hat, but wearing my Indian hat, there is a time. I think we've discussed fresh produce and the troubles and the challenges for far too long. There is a time, and we are right, in a sense, we are sitting in the hub center of the production and the good work that is happening. It's time that this story is told louder. It's told to more people, and it's replicated.
Well, I was talking to Nitin Agarwal, and we're here from Nitin at the end of the conference, our platinum sponsor this morning, and he told me that, and I hope I'm not betraying any secrets, Nitin, that your grape production and exports could grow really quite substantially in the next several years because there is a demand in the market there for your products at a time of the year when there isn't a competitor in the market. And it's not just because there's no competitor in the market, but it just so happens that the quality you're supplying is of a standard that retailers are now coming and knocking on the door and saying, we want your products. And this point you're making about we've got to stop this talk about, as it were, the problem and flip it and start saying about the opportunity is what we've got to talk about.
That's something that also has come a little bit, of only 3-4 weeks of working with Future Group and interacting with its owner. It seems like what they've figured out and what he has figured out, that all the problems that we heard in the morning, nothing has changed in the last 10 years. The problems still exist. There's still no cold chain. The duties are still high. You know, the road infrastructure, this infrastructure, everything is nothing has changed. But the business has grown hundreds of times. Well, you're talking 10,000 containers of apples. It's madness. Well, and sometimes I feel that you do too much research on India, you're destined to fail. If you even today do a research to say, should I be marketing Washington apples or Peruvian asparagus in India? Of course, the consultant will say, no chance. Are you like crazy? So, in fact, I'll take liberty to say Washington because I worked so much with Washington apples. We started with what? 4 loads, 5 loads in 2003. We touched 4,000 loads in 2013.
And you even sponsored an Indian cricket team, which is quite something.
So the consumer demand at the end level.
But let's go. I'd like to come on to that in a moment. But I'd like to, if you would just pick up this point that I was making to you about the, as it were, the example that Peru sets in terms of it's gone from, and forgive me for putting it like this, but from nothing to something in a relatively short space of time, and to be a really global player and a very, very vitally important player on the global scene. As an Indian sitting there and seeing, it seems to me that, you know, you share geographical advantage, India and Peru. You share natural advantage, the two countries. You share a certain number of similarities. Do you think there are things there that Indians here in the audience, all of us here, can sit there and say, this is an example of that we can learn from for our future?
If we are not saying that, then there is a serious problem. So it's time we accept this and say this. In the morning, as Indian, at sometimes you feel you can stand up and bow your head in shame. If after all these processes, if we hear today that Indian mangoes are not allowed, then there is a serious, serious issues. And what they are not realizing, and pardon me for saying this in a context, they're not realizing that mango is not an isolated case of a pest issue with mangoes.
Yeah.
There are larger global trade dynamics that are at play. What Food Safety Authority did with the European chocolates and candies and how the whole import community was at once sloshed, killed at the time which is the best time or the only time of the year where they can make money, has had ramification. So when Dr. Sudhanshu was saying that mango suddenly came up, the dots are still not getting connected. Maybe Brander's a conspiracy theory, but I'm telling you, there are dynamics at play of what happened with European products. And it's unfortunate that our food safety has come down to imported food safety, which is not even 0.01% of the food we eat. And I have gone public on this to say that the pasta I don't eat, I have labels after labels after labels after labels. But the potato, the brinjal that I'm eating every second day, I have no idea where it is coming from. And so here we have created this humongous body of food safety, but their focus has suddenly gone into imported food safety. Mm-hmm. Trust me, nobody has died eating a European chocolate in this country. But I know that, and the same day, and it pains me, and any Indian, it should pain. I come from a state called Bihar, which is on east of India, which I left 25 years ago. Same day FSSAI was banning European chocolates at Bombay port, 68 children in Bihar died after eating pesticide-ridden school lunch program. Mm-hmm. That's the harsh reality that unless we as a country accept, I don't think we can go forward. Mm-hmm. Our priorities need to get right. This phobia of foreign foods coming into this country has to go. You can't. It's almost become like a situation of, open door but close heart. It just doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. And to that extent, therefore, Peru clearly, Sergio, coming to you now, has a huge range of products to offer. you know, the focus of the business for so long has been on asparagus, but then it's grown into table grapes, and there's a range of other products that you have available. In your understanding and your experience and your knowledge of the market here in India, and the kind of conversations you've had in the last 24 hours even, what's your assessment? Do you sit there and think, you said about your meeting with the Peruvian ambassador, that there's good opportunities for you here in India. You see that, do you?
Yes, certainly we see opportunities in the fresh produce for the grapes. We've been already in conversations with some colleagues here in order to not only export grapes into the India market, but also to deliver the grapes from India into our offices in the European market. At the same time, we see opportunities for the frozen products and also the preserved products. And as a government, the ambassador also mentioned to me that he sees many opportunities, of course, in tourism, you know, bringing India tourism into Peru, and also in several other list of products that have opportunity in the India market.
And Sumit, when you look at that range of products that Sergio identified and talked about, when you sat there and looked about that and you're doing your checklist of things, yes, that'll work, perhaps not, what are the ones do you think that Peru has good opportunities here in India for?
I think opportunity one that, and it's my personal belief and the way I think it will work, is to start small. Start small with a certain bunch of products which have comparatively larger shelf life. So for example, I've already seen Peruvian grapes in the market here, and I've seen it for the last 2 years. And in our food hall stores, just to give you a quick, we run stores at all three levels. We have a food hall which is the extremely gourmet. We have the food bazaar or the big bazaar which caters to the middle class or the upper middle class. And then we have something called the KB Fair Price, which is this very small format, which actually goes down to the lower middle class and the lower class. So depending on the product, we have the three retail formats to promote. At our food hall, which is the gourmet and the higher end, we've seen Peruvian grapes. And I don't know if you're coming to our retail tour tomorrow, but I saw Peruvian asparagus at the store. So there are products, there are things. There are multiple retailers here. I think the way to go forward here is that you start a small program with an organized retailer who has the wherewithal to take the product to various cities, start a few city program, and then as the demand grows, I have to say avocados, for example, 2 years ago when we discussed in the import session, avocados were not even in the list of products discussed. I was looking at the data yesterday, and it's so fascinating. Avocado is the highest selling SKU at our food hall stores, and selling SKU during mango season. It's crazy. All that people have done is made guacamole, which is the chutney with avocado, and kept it on the table for people to sample, and just flying off the shelf. So there are. It's about thinking out of the box, and thinking long term, and sometimes this thought will come from the modern retail, and as the volumes grow, the importers will come in.
Well, in the last session today, we'll be hearing from Tony Ponder about avocados. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard it described as guacamole as chutney with avocado, but I like that. It's a good Indian description of a very fine and tasty dish. One thing I'd like to do is this, and Jeff Green mentioned it this morning, Jeff, if I could come to you, I'd like to ask you about this. Is the competitive threat to a certain extent that India might pose to Peru with this? You were talking, Jeff. You were telling me about these developments in grapes in Tamil Nadu, in the south of India, and actually that they could produce grapes at almost the same time that Peru is in the market. If I understood you correctly, can I get a? Is there a microphone? Where's the microphone gone? Oh, it's there. Could you give it to Jeff a second? Jeff, can you comment a bit more on that and tell us a bit more about what you?
Well, it's an area I haven't been to, but I've heard quite a lot about it over
the last. And this is in the south of India we're talking
about.
Right
in the south. It's got a very similar latitude to Piura and Petrolina in Brazil. So you can, you know, if you have that climate, you have the ability to determine when you harvest the fruit, just like we were just hearing. And therefore, you know, obviously with India being far closer to the Asian markets, but also having access to many other nearby markets, yes, they could. They could target China. One of the points about Peru at the moment is that maybe they're not able to maximize sales to some markets because of the color of the grapes. They don't have enough of the color that China, for example, would want. Maybe that's something that can be changed over time. But I think there's tremendous opportunities for both Peru and India to develop a wider range of markets and more seedless varieties, obviously, in Peru. And I think there's room for both.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeff. Any other comments or questions from anybody out there in the audience? Yes, the gentleman here at the front.
Thank you very much. I'm the agricultural councillor here in Delhi from the Netherlands.
You've been just here a couple of weeks, though.
Just 2 weeks now.
Welcome to India.
Thank you very much. I have a question to Campasol. The question is, what was the main driver in the development of the company? Was it, the national market where it started, and or was it more the export which made the sector grow and made the quality grow? And so I would like to know, what was the main driver in the development of the company? Was it started on a national? Because there might be some difference between Peru and India, where India has a huge internal market and Peru has a smaller internal market and was forced to look for export markets to be able to grow, and that also stimulated to increase equality. Could you say something on that, please?
So it's mostly export-led, isn't it?
The main drive was to export, and this already started in the 80s in Peru when the American Agency for Development Countries started to give the support in order to deliver new crops in the Peruvian coast area. One of the main advantages that they found was in the asparagus crops, and it all begins with the asparagus in the 80s and was mainly to export because Peruvians doesn't eat asparagus. The internal market is very, very small. And from that moment and during the 90s, the export of asparagus grew up, and from then we started to develop more products. So that was the drive, the external market.
Go ahead.
Do you allow me to ask a follow-up question?
Yes, of course.
Then I would like to ask Mr. Saran to hear his view on what that would mean for India having a huge internal market, and what could be the driver in India to increase production, to increase quality, to develop the horticultural sector more. What could be the main driver to get forward?
See, in terms of drivers, I think there are four or five drivers here. Driver number one is this growing Indian economy, which it's growing at, say, 5-6%, but we've seen that food and agriculture tends to go 3-4% higher. So even on a bad day, it's a good growth economy. That economy, well, it's not inclusive. There we still have a lot of poor people, but the fact is that our middle class keeps expanding. And as the middle class keeps expanding, the demands keeps expanding. Third is that it's a very young population. It's a very young population, and disposable incomes are in their hands. I mean, kids out of college are making more money than what their dads retired after 30 years of working, with the sole thing that they have, that they can speak English, and they make more money than their dads. And so this young population with disposable income is making dramatic changes to how food is sold and food is consumed. And in fresh, we have seen that when there is so much global about eat 5 fruits a day, or fruits are so good for you, and foods are so good for brain and for the children, We grew up eating apples in winter. My daughter has no clue that an apple is a winter fruit. And so if you're a grape, and this is something that Indian retail also needs to acknowledge and work on, is that, you know, if my wife goes to buy grapes in May and the shopkeeper says, no, madam, come next year, January, that doesn't work anywhere in the world. It won't work in India. So people have to work on a grape category. So while for an exporter, this will be a hugely satisfying that even in terms of bad times in Europe or in the, there's a huge domestic consumption and a market. So it's for the exporter, that's a comfort that he, or a comfort pillow that he has. For a supplier, any origin, including Peru, or there are two things that is happening in India. First is that fact is that India does not have enough food. We got to feed 1.2 billion people 3 meals a day. And India does not have enough food as we move along. So there is going to be more and more dependence on foreign foods. There's no debate on it. And we've seen across categories. Sometimes when we talk imported, we only think on apples and cherries and things like that, not realizing that the dal that we eat, the rajma that we eat, the wheat that we eat, you know, it's all foreign. And 5% population goes from a lower middle to middle. You're talking 80 million people. You're talking a Germany shifting its eating habit. India does not have enough wheat to give packaged atta to give to these people to make their chapati. That's the bottom line. And then there is the complementary side of imported foods, which is the grapes and all which I categorize as wellness foods, which I feel will be good for me and my child and my family. And that is breaking seasonality barriers. So Indians, like the world, is demanding good, consistent fruits and vegetables throughout the year. If it is from India, very good. But if it's not, we need to be open to receive the world.
And he would be right to say that the imported fruit has also raised the quality standard across the board in India. Is that true?
Of course, that's true. But not just quality standard, even the price standards. You take imported apple out of the mix today, and domestic apples will fall back to 40. Domestic apple, the most premium apples when we started would be sold for 40, 45. There are times where an imported apple that came around 200. In 10 years, we have seen domestic has quietly grown to 100, 120, 130. There are certain times of the year when Kinnaur is more expensive than Washington.
Yes.
So return to the farmer has also considerably increased with the foreign foods in market.
So to that extent, to answer your question, there's an internal dynamic here in the internal market that's also lifting. It's not just dependent on exports to grow things. Any other questions from anybody before we finish this? Yes, just 1 second. A microphone is coming so we can hear you loud and clear. If you just raise your hand so my colleague can find you. Thank you.
It's question to Mr. Saran. You say import...
Tell us who you are first. Excuse me.
I'm Pradeep from Mother Dairy.
Thank you.
Okay, so what you are saying, if I mean correctly, if import price is more, say, classic example that you have given is for imported apple, then the domestic price and that too, the farmer benefit goes up. So do you mean that the government of India should increase the import duty from 52 to 60 or so?
If you look at the import duty scenario, sir, it's a big misnomer. I've had on apples. I'm talking horticulture. I'm not talking in general. But we were exhibiting at a show in India, and 80 farmers from Kashmir came to thank foreign apples in the market because they have seen growth in their returns. But they've also seen better handling, better quality, better grading, because the consumer here has now tasted the world and seen the world. So to say that restricted economy will benefit our country in the long run is incomplete. I'm not an expert on this, and you know people might know better than. But the only thing that I've got is that I've worked in several places in the world, and nowhere I have seen that. Restricted economies and high duties have led to any kind of growth. The more open the country has been, more prosperous and more growth that I have seen.
Last opportunity to ask a question in this particular session before I say, okay, thank you. No more questions. So let's thank Sergio and Sumit for their contributions. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We have to move on, so we'll do the photographs afterwards, okay?